This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Many people sitting down to a Thanksgiving meal tomorrow may hearken back to some version of a story about pilgrims and Native Americans feasting together. But my guest today says that the current version of Thanksgiving would have been unrecognizable to the pilgrims it supposedly honors. Anne Blue Wills is a professor of religion at Davidson College who argues that the version of Thanksgiving we celebrate today is actually the result of a journalistic crusader. Her name is Sarah Hale, and she was an editor of a popular women's magazine in the mid-1800s. Sarah wanted Thanksgiving to be a patriotic holiday that would unite Americans in pious Puritan values. And she made it her mission to promote the holiday until Abraham Lincoln finally gave it national recognition in 1863. Anne Blue Wills joins me today to talk more about Sarah Hale's story. Hello, Anne.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. Take us back. How did you end up looking into this in the first place?
Well, I was a graduate student, and I was interested in looking at pilgrims and how children imbibe the pilgrim story. And I have very clear memories from my own childhood, first grade probably, of drawing pictures of the Thanksgiving feast. And I remember at one point making a huge mural with my classmates that, you know, the whole table extended down the sheet of butcher paper, and we all filled in with our favorite foods and inserted our colorful pictures of the pilgrims and the Indians, who were, you know, of course, a lot more fun for first graders to draw because there was a lot more color involved. So I had all this kind of swimming around in my head and was talking it over with my professor, who had consulted with one of his colleagues who recommended that I look at school books. And I thought, wow, that's a really good idea to look at how school books have created or helped to inculcate this story into their readers. And I think on my way to look into school books and storybooks, I ended up looking at some magazines, and I was in the basement of Perkins Library at Duke University, and I just got carried away by these microfilm reel after reel after reel of these magazines, and the one that really caught my attention was Godey's Ladies Book, which was the magazine of, I guess we would call it, if we're fans of Martha Stewart, we would call it homekeeping, kind of the domestic engineering periodical of the day. And it held sway for decades during the 19th century. And as you mentioned, Sarah Hale was the editress, she called herself, of Godey's Ladies Book and Magazine. And she had this interest that she brought with her to Godey's to establish Thanksgiving on the national calendar. And so a lot of her energy especially in the November issues of this monthly magazine, her energies were funneled into not only reporting on how her campaign was going, but teaching her readers how this would be done.
That story then leads us to wonder, what was Thanksgiving? Was there anything called Thanksgiving before Sarah got hold of it?
There would have been in her day. So, you know, at the beginning of her work at Godey's in the 1840s, there would have been local celebrations primarily, if not exclusively, in the Northeast. And, you know, the Thanksgiving celebration would have been a local, you know, even town by town celebration in the harvest part of the year.
Yeah.
And it was a much more occasional celebration than what she wanted.
Yeah, and that makes me wonder if it wasn't just before this a kind of harvest festival, which you can imagine that time of year, and to what extent people ever thought about including the pilgrims in that celebration, you know, in the 19th century.
She, as far as I can recall, she doesn't really use the pilgrim story that, you know, maybe as your listeners are sitting there listening to this, they are having the same first grade flashback
right.
Got me into this mess in the first place.
Right.
That you know, the pilgrims and the Indians. The pilgrims invited the Indians to come and have this meal with them, and they celebrated, and they had this, you know, community meal, and it was very peaceful. And that she does not, Sarah Hale does not really invoke that. She's much more interested in more recent history, the late 18th century history of the Revolution and the success of the American revolutionary effort against the British tyrants, and wants to make Thanksgiving into a memorial, in part, a memorial to that effort and the kind of blessing that it shows that God has given the American nation, that we were able to kind of tear away from the British tyrants.
And interestingly enough, you look at what the pilgrims themselves wrote about Thanksgiving, and that also sheds light on kind of what they were thinking and where it's come today.
One of the sources that I looked at was the of Plymouth Plantation, and there's just nothing. I mean, there's almost nothing. I'm looking for the narrative description of my first grade, you know, banner that we had colored together, and it's just not there. It's a very kind of run of the mill observation almost about a meal, and there were some of these people, and there were some of those people, and then it just goes on to the next thing. There's no great flourish of, you know, and this cemented our community together so that we could live in peace and harmony, blah, blah, blah. There's just not that. And that really forced me to think about where do we get the trip out into the country to reunite with family? Where do we get the turkey? Where do we get this notion of harvest? Where does Thursday, you know, why Thursday? Why November?
And you talked about, I mean, so Sarah Hale seeing this as, again, promoting this notion of virtue and the American experiment. Also, a certain type of motherhood, right?
Yes, that was very important to her. And she's one of several really interesting 19th century women who, on the one hand, are promoting the power of womanhood, the power of what she would have recognized as Republican motherhood, Republican womanhood, that really could contribute such important impulses to the success of the nation. And on the other hand, I mean, and you look at that and you think, oh, wow, well, there's feminism in the early 19th century, even before Seneca Falls in 1848. There she is. But she was not a Seneca Falls gal. She was not, you know, she wouldn't recognize if you said, okay, this is a feminist, Sarah Hale, you are a feminist. She would have not fit that mold, because her notions of where women's power came from were all rooted in the domestic scene. So she didn't think that women should have office. She didn't think women should have the vote. But she said, you know, we're not losing anything because of those things. We're actually protecting our power if we focus it on where it's supposed to be, which for her was in the home. Raising children, educating children. She was very, very staunchly supportive of women's education, and wanted women to be educated into motherhood. And those are the kinds of things that she saw women as kind of specializing in.
And she would use fiction to also sort of promote some of that and stitch all of this together. And ordinarily in the November edition, I guess. So tell us about those fictional stories and how those played out.
Some of my favorite stories have to do with, a character, the central character in the story, who's not a very likable person at the outset, who then has to travel because of some, you know, controversy or problem, has to go spend November, the month of November, out in the middle of nowhere with their, you know, great aunt Hattie. And it so happens that in the course of spending that time out in the country, out in the middle of nowhere with this aunt that they really don't know very well, they will celebrate Thanksgiving. And there's one story in particular that I have in mind where this girl who is very concerned with her appearance and buying the nicest dresses and having the nicest hair ribbons and being attractive to the best gentleman in town undergoes this very experience just to go spend time with her aunt. And while she's there, they celebrate Thanksgiving. And she kind of starts to realize that these people that she's just met out in the country are just really good, basic, salt-of-the-earth people who live a rural life, and they're not sophisticated, but they're just good people. They don't dress fancily. Mm-hmm. They don't read the latest magazine. They mm-hmm. don't travel, but they are connected to the earth, and they are church-going. They're virtuous. They believe in the strength of the nation, and they've welcomed her into the community. And in this particular story, she celebrates Thanksgiving, and there's a kind of religious conversion that happens to her. She realizes that her former life as a kind of social butterfly really doesn't have much to offer either her or her community. And she resolves that she's going to kind of keep Thanksgiving in her heart for the rest of the year. It's very Charles Dickens, which Christmas Carol.
Right, kind of perfect for the time. But it is
she can kind of live out that every day of the year.
Pilgrim's famously Calvinist. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about it, this is also interesting because she is at least in part successful for whatever reasons Abraham Lincoln finally did declare this a national holiday in 1863. It was established then as the day and as a day on which this rite would be celebrated every year. This would be counter the Calvinist tradition, probably something they would not have done. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes. And that's one of the things that really struck me when I was investigating this topic. Was to think about the presumption involved in establishing a day of Thanksgiving on the calendar. The Puritan mindset, the Calvinist mindset, it was and is one that is tries to take a very very realistic or humble view of human nature. And is very wary of presuming that any kind of human effort will ever really end in anything good. So, I mean, you can look at it both ways. I say something like that to my students, and they look at me like I'm crazy. But but on the other hand, I think you can hear that and find it in some way very liberating. It takes a whole lot of pressure off human beings to kind of earn their way into God's good graces if you just realize anything we put our hand to is going to end up screwed up somehow.
Well, Sarah Hale put her hand to this particular enterprise.
Yeah,
to what extent is she responsible for, do you think? I mean, tell us how she did. What role did she play, if any, in actually getting Abraham Lincoln to make this a holiday?
Well, she had Godey's Lady's Book as her kind of primary mouthpiece, where she could report to readers year after year after year after year that she had been in contact with the president. She had written her persuasive brief to him again this year and tried to convince him through these various lines of argument that this really needed to be made official, made uniform, made national, set into the national calendar so that it couldn't be forgotten about by, you know, one president or another, or just ignored by people, that he really needed to get behind this. And so she would report on this year after year, and she would also invite her readers, please, dear reader, write to him yourself. You know, it's perfectly within your right. And women definitely had the right to petition. And so writing letters would not have been anything that would have offended her sensibilities in terms of what was appropriate female behavior. And she also would, in these editorial columns every November, she would report on the news that she had of Thanksgiving being celebrated around the world, American Thanksgiving being celebrated by Americans who were in the mission field, for instance. People would write to her and say, you know, we had 12 missionaries and however many Native people came and celebrated. And she saw this display as a spectacle that the world could take in, and it could be another way of she doesn't use this word, but propagandizing for American greatness and American vigor and American virtue, and that, you know, these celebrations of community and piety and abundance were something that really could convince the rest of the world that we had something going on that they needed to pay attention to. She has this campaign going for, of course, with Lincoln, but in decades prior, she was already kind of on the on this project to make the presidents aware that this was something that they ought to get behind. And I don't think, the jury, I guess, is out, short of anybody finding Abraham Lincoln's own hand having written "That Sarah Hale Woman Finally Wore Me Down." But, he had his own motives, too, for starting the national kind of uniform celebration of Thanksgiving. And it was, I think, you know, looking back on it, I can see how it would it could be presented as a unifying celebration that could maybe lift people above the immediate strife and get them to kind of think about what God might be doing in this this American project.
Well, it's a great story, Anne, and I want to thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Davidson Religion Professor Anne Blue Wills. And you can see a link to her article about Sarah Hale at our website, stateofthings.org. And that's our program for today. Thanks for listening. It's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Alex Curley is our intern. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia.